Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with my guest host, or he's no longer a guest anymore. He's just a regular co-host. All these years that we have been co-laboring in the Lord together, Brother Harold, Minister Harold Copeland, as I love to call him, we both minister the Word of God, and we enjoy doing that together. So as we've come together today, we are delighted and so forever grateful to the Lord that you have also joined us to continue in hearing and growing in the Word of God in this wonderful series that we're still in called One with Jesus. And by now, you should hopefully have a simple understanding or an in-depth understanding on how and what it means to be one with Jesus. A oneness with the Godhead, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is a oneness that cannot be broken when you have been born again. That's it. Born again, a believer in Christ Jesus. And we give everybody an opportunity, what we call in this ministry, stop, drop, and pray, to become one with Jesus through salvation. And so as we continue to move through the pages of the Bible, as Minister Copeland continues to expound on the Word of God and expose it to us and reveal the nuggets within Scripture that that breathes and reveals to us that we are one with Him when we are in the household of faith or born again. So without any longer wait, we encourage you, get your Bible, if you will, and things to write, an instrument to write with, to take notes. That's important as a student of God's Word, as a disciple coming hungry to the table, and be ready to listen to what He has for you to jot down or take notes so that you can study and go even deeper in the Word of God, allowing Him to pull you along in His amazing way with those notes that you have taken from us through this lesson, One with Jesus. That's an important discipline, that we take notes so that we can further our study and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and renew us and bring the beauty of God's Word to you so that you are equipped like a soldier. So without any delay, Minister Harold is going to chime in, come in here, and he's going to continue with us as we continue in this wonderful teaching series, One with Jesus. Minister Copeland?
Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Hello again, everybody. Shalom. We always release the peace of God upon you. God bless you. We always release blessings, 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 miracles, miracles, miracles. I am Brother Harold Copeland. And along with our host, Minister Carnita, it's an honor and a great delight to be back in studio together with you all again. We look forward to this fellowship week after week after week after week. Well, I would like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio broadcast. We always want you to know that it is an honor to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you, and we thank God for your life. But most importantly, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. And every time you open your heart to receive the truth of the Word of God, God has downloaded revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit into your heart. And this revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit will take you to God's divine purpose and plan that he has for your life. Two shall stand and proclamate the oracles of God to this lost and dying world. Amen, amen. We are on this awesome series one with Jesus. That Jesus Christ has taken abode in our hearts if we are born again. And it takes a supernatural power to manifest such a life on the inside of us. So Jesus has taken and abode in our heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has come to do the will of the Father in us and through us with no help from us. He just wants us to make ourselves available and to trust him. And Jesus' main purpose for coming into the earth realm was to connect us back to God. Because of Adam, the first Adam, and we know the story. Eve took the apple, ate the apple, and gave some to her husband who was with her. And sin came into the world. And mankind died. We also know that that wasn't a physical death. That was a spiritual death. And the definition of a spiritual death will be to be disconnected from the heart of God, disconnected from the presence of God. And that's because of Adam's sin in the garden. But Jesus come to reconnect us from the inside out to the heart of our Father, that we can again enjoy his presence. For the Word of God tells us that God loves us so much, and he has made it available that he will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. He's with us until the ends of the earth. Amen. We're going to go ahead and dive right into the teaching, and we always like to start out by reading our lunch past scriptures. And Minister Kenita Smith is going to read our lunch pass scriptures for us. Minister Smith?
Amen. And our first scripture is coming out of 1 John chapter 4. And we'll read verse 17. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 17, and it reads this way. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now we're going to move on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 as our second launchpad scripture, 1 Corinthians 6. And we'll read 17 in that chapter as well. Verse 17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Amen.
Amen. And as we've been teaching, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, there's power. its wonder-working power in the precious shed blood of the Lamb. And because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, in his passion, in Jesus' passion, on Golgotha Hill, the place of the skull on Calvary Cross, Jesus became the ultimate sin offering for all the sins of the world once and for all. And because of that payment, the sin debt is paid in full, and the heart of a holy God is satisfied concerning this sin issue. So in other words, all of our sins of yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever was paid for in full. And God is not imputing sin to New Testament believers. We just pray that God open our eyes and see how great is that love, his sin on his son, that his son become who we are, who we were. We were sinners, and we become who he is, holy, righteous, and truly holy. And that oneness, that holiness, that righteousness, God filled it in our spirit, man, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that when we do sin in our minds and our thoughts, which we do, that contamination do not sink down into our spirit, man. Spirit, man, continues to be righteous and truly holy. And when we do sin in our actions, that contamination do not sink down into our eternal righteous spirit. If God don't want to lose us, and he made a salvation that could only be thought of in his heart, man could have never even dreamed of a salvation like this. The devil had no idea God was going to put a people together in perfect righteousness and holiness that he, the devil, cannot even contaminate them or pluck them out of the hands of our God. Now, if we are truly born again, we will say truly born again. We have a desire to live for God, a desire not to sin. We have a inner desire to live for God and to keep ourselves purified in the presence of our holy God. Let us read 1 John chapter 3, verse 3.
First John chapter 3, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure.
Christ in me, the Christ in you, is our hope of glory. And the Christ in me and the Christ in you is pure. And we have a hope that we purify ourselves because we are now one with him. Now there is different degrees of this purity in your actions and thoughts. But every born again believer seeks purify himself, because the number one reason And I want to emphasize this again. Sin gives Satan access to our body and soul. Satan becomes the master of our body and soul when we sin. Let us read Romans 6.
Romans 6, verse 15.
16.
Verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Amen.
And that's why if our brothers or sisters are in sin or falling short, they need our prayer, not our condemnation. Because the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And sin in a believer's life open up the door for the enemy to come in and devour. Satan wants to bring death into our lives any way he can. Sickness, disease, poverty, shame, depression, discouragement, and all sorts of other, I would say, other nasty ways or nasty things. Why would we give our enemy an opportunity to come against us? And we know he hates us with a passion. But as a Christian, we don't have to live holy in order for God to accept and be pleased with us. But our action and attitude, these do determine how we get along with other people and how the devil will have access to our destiny. That's why it is still to our advantage to live a holy life, knowing that we can relate to God based on the perfection, holiness, and righteousness in our spirit has set us free from sin, not free to sin. In our flesh part, our soul and our body, we won't be completely perfect until we receive our glorified body. But in the meantime, we can go ahead and relate to God based on who we are. This makes our relationship with God stable and secure. Now, my mentor, mighty man of God, he got saved at age 8, and he truly loved the Lord. And to man's standards, Christian standards, people's standards, he lived a very, very holy life. And this is his testimony. I lived a holy life accidentally than most people have on purpose. Whenever these truths are taught, people criticize, saying, "You're just preaching this so you can live in sin. You can't accuse me of that. because I lived a holy life. I never spoken a word of profanity, drunk liquor, smoked any cigarettes, or even commit fornication or adultery. I'm just telling you that people can't look at me and say the reason I preach is because it allows me to live in sin. No. I live a very holy life. I don't live holy because I have to, but because I want to. I don't do it in order to obtain God's blessings. I do it because he's revealed this truth to me and changed my heart. I desire to live holy because it's good for me. It helps me minister to other believers. And it's happier to live holy than unholy. God will still love us if we live this sin because our spirit is changed. But we wouldn't love ourselves, and other people wouldn't love us either. Sin offends God, but it also offends people. If we are truly born again, God deals with us as his child based on our born-again spirit. But people won't love you if you sin, if you steal from them, and they catch you, they'll throw you in jail. We will suffer, be confined. We will be hurt. We won't have a nice life living in jail. But God will still love us. We will still be righteous. But we will also not be making a good decision when we decide to yield to sin. Living holy doesn't make God love us more, but it does increase our love for him. Likewise, a lack of holiness won't cause God to love us less, but it would definitely decrease our love for him. Although God's love for us doesn't change, our performance directly affects our love for him. That's why it's very important that we try to live a life of holiness, that we try to live out of our spirit man. A spirit man that is one with Jesus, that Jesus is. So are we right now. Spirit man that is one with the Holy Spirit. That new nature. Knowing we take off the old nature, which is corrupt and all of it deceitful love. And we put on the new man, who's created after God in righteousness and truly holy. Sin is never a wise choice, but it's also never an issue between us and God. God dealt with our sin, past, present, and future, when we were born again. Now we can come boldly before the Lord at any time, even when we've fallen short, even when we displeased with ourselves, even when we given Satan an inroad into our lives, we can still come boldly into the very presence of our Father and receive from him, because our spirit didn't lose any of its right standing with him. The word encourages us to come before the Lord when we need mercy and help. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16.
Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen.
Amen. So, we don't just wait to come before God until we've done everything right. We can come boldly to the Lord and receive grace to help when we totally mess things up. Our Heavenly Father has invited us to draw near to his throne at any time by faith in his Son and who we are in Jesus Christ. It's our birthright, children of the Most High God. Now, I want to speak on one of the most controversial topics in the body of Christ that many denominations do not agree on. And people have their beliefs and people have their thoughts. Well, I think this and I think that. But I want to see what the Word of God says about this topic. And the topic is it once saved, always saved, or is it born again, again, again? Is it once saved, always saved, or born again, again, again? Now, I asked that question all of my Christian life. And I just could not get an answer that sufficed my spirit, man. Because my mentor lived such a holy life. He lived a holy life. But because of the way he was living, he got prideful. And God had to rebuke him because he thought he was better than everybody else, because he basically lived a sinless life as far as people concerned. But God rebuked him and told him that you're nothing but a Pharisee and a Sadducee, because you think that your goodness is earning your right standing with me. You think that your actions are pleasing me. And God let her know that only one person's action pleases his heart, and that's Jesus. And without Jesus, he is nothing but a religious Pharisee and Sadducee. And my mentor said that he actually thought that the law was going to really hurt him. I mean, actually kill him, really. But then he said a presence of love came upon him once he turned his heart and his mind all the way to God. He said it was a tangible loving presence that he could feel. And he said that loving presence stayed with him for about 4.5 months until God told him, I don't want you to receive my love through a feeling. I want you to receive my love through the word of God. So he had to get into the word and begin to look at scripture and see how much God loves him and do not depend upon a feeling. But in his walk with the Lord, that question came up. Once saved, always saved, or born again, again. And my mentor said, when I first started understanding this revelation, I wondered, God, is it like the denominations that say, once saved, always saved? Is it like the other denominations that say, saved, lost, saved, lost, born again, again? And he said he struggled with these questions for a long time. And finally, the Lord spoke to him about it one day, saying, it's not A, once saved, always saved, or B, saved, lost, born again, again. It's C, none of the above. And he said that God showed him that both positions had truth, but the full truth is somewhere in the middle. The once saved, always saved denominations, they understand that the Spirit is sanctified and perfected forever. And since we aren't saved by our own goodness, our lack of goodness can't unsave us. If we confess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are born again. Since faith is the issue, sin doesn't cause us to lose our salvation. And then some people come up with this question. Now, wait a minute. I believe if you sin, you lose your salvation. You can't tell me that a person who committed some grievous sin can go to heaven. My mentor said that he was considered holy by most religious standards, but he's still falling short in his action. He may not have used profanity. He may not have drank liquor. He may not have smoked cigarettes. He may not have committed adultery. But he broken some of God's laws. He said he didn't love people the way he should. And he said neither have he always told the truth. He said, I tried to, but he said he remembered getting caught lying as a kid. He said he haven't committed what people consider big sins, but he's broken God's law. Let's go to the book of James, chapter 2, verse 10. James 2:10.
James chapter 2, verse 10. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. Amen.
Amen. See, the law is like a plate glass window. You could shoot a BB through that plate glass window, and it will make a little hole. Or you can throw a piano through that plate glass window, and it make a huge hole in the plate glass window. Concerning that plate glass window, size make no difference. because the glass can't be patched. It's broken and must be replaced. The same with the law. If we violate one tiny command, we're guilty of breaking the whole thing. We may not be transgressing all of God's commands, but we won't ever be able to do everything he told us to do. Nobody always does all of the good they know to do. Go to the book of James, chapter 4, verse 17.
James 4, 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Amen.
Amen. Those who say you have to be holy, you can't have sin in your life, and still think you are saved, have to categorize sin into big sin, little sin. They contend. I'm talking about the big thing. You can't tell me that a person who commits adultery and dies in a car accident on the way home, with their sin not confessed, will still be saved. Surely they will go directly to hell. You can tell me that an adulterer will go to heaven. And because Jesus, and we showed in Scripture, paid for all of our sin, all believer sin, of yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever, next year, already been paid for, I'm going to have to burst your bubble. That's religion, putting sin in categories, big sin and little sin. You can go to heaven with a little sin, but if you got a big sin, you're not going to heaven with a big sin. According to God's word, there's no such thing as big sin or a little sin. Feeding while driving is sin. Let's go to the book of Romans. Book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 1 through 7.
Romans 13, 1. Starting at 1, let every soul be subject to the governing from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Verse 4, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Verse 7, render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Amen.
Amen. Now those scriptures instruct us to obey the laws of the land and to submit ourselves to the governing authority. Driving 56 in a 55-mile-per-hour zone is breaking the command of God. If you break a little command, you are guilty of violating the entire thing. The speeder is as guilty of sin as the adulterer. In man's eyes, there's a radical difference between going 1 mile per hour over the speed limit and committing adultery. Speeder and adulterer deserve different consequences in man's opinion. But in the eyes of God, sin is sin. Both come short of his standard of perfection. If you keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, you become guilty of it all. If the born-again believer who committed adultery and didn't confess it before dying goes straight to hell, then so does every believer who has ever said. If that were true, then nobody would make it to heaven, because we all come short and fail in many different ways. If you come short of the glory of God, you missed it. In this example, we're in a room together, and the ceiling is 20 feet. It has a 20-foot ceiling. And God said we had to jump up and touch the ceiling in order to be saved. Now, if a great basketball star was in that room, he might be able to jump 15 feet high and get close. And if we had some couch potatoes, they might only jump 6 inches and miss it by a bunch. Either way, the end result wouldn't be any different. If you can't touch the ceiling, you can't be saved. Both miss it. And that's the way it is with God's standard. He doesn't grade on a curve, fair. Do the best you can. As long as you are in the top 10%, I'll accept you because you really tried. No. Either or, we need a Savior who is. If you can send your salvation away, or we can send our salvation away, then the only way to heaven is to die immediately after being born again. The loving thing to do with new converts would be to kill them before they sin. Then they won't have a chance to sin and lose the salvation they just received. Now, the person who murdered them might go to hell, but the new believer won't have time to void that ticket to heaven through sin. And that's how ridiculous that sounds, because it is. Our spirit has been sealed, sanctified, perfected forever. His righteous state doesn't fluctuate with the holiness of our action and attitude. Since salvation depends solely upon putting your faith in Jesus and being born again, our sin doesn't affect our relationship with God. He fellowships with us based on faith in Christ alone and the great work that Jesus Christ has already done in our spirit man. Maybe there's somebody out there that said, I haven't had a chance to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I don't even know where to begin. But I want to get started. I want this relationship. And I want this new spirit man that you all are talking about through the Word of God. But I'm here today to let you know that God loves you because he has set you up with Missions from the Heart Radio. We are a salvation ministry. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God, we always open up our services to give people, God-loving people, the opportunity to open their hearts and to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Through the power of the Spirit of our loving Father and the resurrection life of our Lord and our Savior, Holy Spirit is here to lead people's hearts back to the Father. So I'm going to stop. I'm going to drop. And I'm going to pray. And turn the microphone over to Minister Kenita Smith. God has anointed her in this hour to take her people to the cross. Minister Smith, take us to the cross of Jesus.
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is our hour. This is our time. Minister Copeland has stated that we stop, we drop, and we pray. And I love the way that Hebrews 4:14, as we read in scripture that he had me to read, indicates that we as his children says that we can do what? And I hope that you've written these verses down as I've indicated in the beginning of the broadcast, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Verse 16 in Hebrews 4:16, we can come boldly. And this is our opportunity for us to come boldly to the throne, or I like to say to the feet of Jesus, making our petition known to him. Now, within that boldliness, don't get it misconstrued. In the world's way of thinking, bold, cocky, arrogant, no. But boldly with reverential fear of who he is, the great I am, Jehovah God, humble ourselves at the feet of Jesus, making our petition known. Because God provided us, Christ, as the bridge. He filled the gap between God and people. So if you can picture sinful people on one side of a mountain, and you can picture God, holy, righteous, loving, sovereign, compassionate, on another side of a mountain. And if you look with your imagination, because we weren't there at Golgotha's heel, at Calvary's cross, but if you could picture in your mind the cross with Jesus hung there where he hung, bled, and died on that old rugged cross. Just imagine how he's hanging there with the nail scars in his hands and feet, and how he did that for you and I. God allowed him to be our salvation. He is our bridge. God provided the only way. Each person must make a choice. And today is the day, my brother, my sister, for you to make a choice. As we approach the feet of Jesus in all humility and humbleness that you know how, with outstretched hands, maybe with your head hung down, bowed on your knee. Some of you may be able to just lay flat on your stomach in order to get to your lowest position, that you will cry out to him in prayer. And scripture tells us that for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He is the one that bridged the gap for you to come to know him in the pardoning of your sin, for you to come to know him in all intimacy, for you to be one with him. For Christ died for our sins once and for all, brothers and sisters. He did this for us once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God, just as he did for Brother Harold and I. So many of us are listening to the broadcast today. He brought us to himself. So keep in mind that God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were thinking the way we were thinking, horribly, Minister Copeland testified about his one and only, or his mentor, that his life was changed, his thinking was changed. And he did this because of the way we think, the way we act, and the way we spoke. And now it's your turn, my brother, my sister. It's your turn. This is the day that God has created, made for you to say no more of that, because he brought you through it. You're here today so that you can stop, drop, and pray. Now, that born-again nature that Minister Copeland so beautifully teaches us about, lesson after lesson after lesson through this teaching series, it is the time to be perfected, sealed, sanctified, as he says, as the word describes, as the word feeds and reveals to us that we are a born-again new nature. Our spirit man is alive in Christ Jesus when you say yes, my brother, my sister. Saying yes to Christ, the one who filled the gap, the one that allows us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. So now, it's my words, but it's your heart that God sees. So please do not come half-hearted. Wholehearted is the way we come to Christ. We don't come with ulterior motives. Let me get this now so I can go back to the way I was living. No, do not do that. Minister Copeland talked about that in the series today. So we just encourage you right now to make this personal, to make it intimate between you and him. That's capital H-I-M. Intimacy, reverence is the key as we come to the feet of Jesus. No more procrastination, no more putting it off, no more getting around to it, no more waiting until I get older. Older may not come. Tomorrow's not promised to anyone. Today is the day that you say yes to Jesus Christ with no further delay. Today is the day. So let's pray. Now, my brothers and sisters who are listening, please pray with us, one with us. Undergird those who are accepting Jesus Christ today as their Lord and Savior. And continue to pray with that one that God has laid heavy on your heart. Continue to intercede for them as we all pray together as brothers and sisters in Christ. So my brother, my sister, if you would prepare your heart, your mind, as I speak these words and you repeat after me. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, hallowed, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let thy will be done in me as well. Create in me, Lord, a clean heart, a new heart, a born-again heart, and renew the right spirit within me, Lord. For I come to you as humble as I know how, saying yes to your will, because I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. He did this for me, and I thank you, Lord God, for sending your son, Jesus, to bear the rugged cross for me. He covered my sins, Lord, thank you. I believe this by faith, Father God, because you didn't have to do this for me. Your saving grace drew me to you. Thank you, Lord God. I was a messed up person. My mind was everywhere but the right place. My thoughts were taking me to dark places, Lord, as you know, but you recovered me. You pulled me out of darkness. Here I am at the feet of Jesus in the marvelous light, saying yes to you. Lord God, thank you. Here I am saying yes, Lord, yes. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, I pray. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. As you rise or raise your head or continue to dance and shout, tell somebody about you, about what you've done today, that you've given your life to Christ. They may not want to hear it, but that's okay. Tell them anyway. Tell them anyway, because this is a joy. This is a joy. It's an excitement to know that you are born again, that you've given your heart to Christ, that you have a new nature, a born-again nature, that you have said yes to Jesus, that you are ready, willing, and able to start a new journey. And this is what we are saying, and we come to you every week from Mission from the Heart Radio. So also seek out a Bible teaching church. It's important, my brother, my sister, teaching church that is one that's going to disciple you and undergird you and hold you accountable for the way that you have chose to live. That you would be baptized by submersion of water, something else that is important to do as you seek that church out, so that you can let the world know, tell the world, testify before the world that you are a Christ follower. Hallelujah. That they now know that you belong in the household of faith. It's such a joy. It's such an excitement to see family being baptized, and as they rise up, hallelujah, people are cheering you and praising the Lord with you because you have made a wonderful decision for the rest of your life while you're on this side of heaven. So as we shout with you, Minister Copeland and I'm going to let him go ahead and just bring praises to the Lord and give his hallelujah praises to God for what you have done by saying, yes, Lord, yes. Minister Copeland?
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Congratulations, my brothers and my sisters. Welcome you into the family of God. The ultimate family, the ultimate family relationship. And we just overwhelmed with joy that you made the decision to get it right with your Heavenly Father, and that you realize that you need a Savior in this lost and dying world, and that the Savior loves you for all the price that he has paid just to be able to receive you by you receiving him. And today you receive him and he received you. He has empowered you with his Holy Spirit. And yes, now he has become that bridge that connects your heart back to the heart of a loving Father. We thank God for your life. Again, I say welcome in the family. And we are looking forward to joining you again next week on Mission from the Heart Radio. May the grace of God go before you on this day. May the peace of God rest and abide in our hearts and our minds forever. And may the love of God overflow out of every one of us, that others will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. I love you. God bless you. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. Always remember, my brothers and sisters, the grass withers, the flowers faded away, but the word of God will remain forever and ever and ever. God bless you, and have a wonderful, exciting rest of your week.